Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 15, Instructions for Civilized Human Beings, Text Number 58. Abhatito pi ya baso yatha vastu taya smrita durga tadvad indriyakam Tavad artha vikalpitam abhatita rejected api although he certainly abhashita a reflection yata as vastutaya a form of reality Smritaha, accepted, Durga Tattvat, because of being very difficult to prove the reality. Aidriyakam, knowledge derived from the senses. Tadvat, similarly, Artha, reality. Vikalpitam, speculated or doubtful. Translation purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Although one may consider the reflection of the sun from a mirror to be false, it has its factual existence. Accordingly, to prove by speculative knowledge that there is no reality would be extremely difficult. Purport. The impersonalist tried to prove that the varieties in the vision of the empiric philosopher are false. The impersonalist philosopher, Vaivartavada, generally cites the acceptance of a rope to be a snake as an example of this fact. According to this example, the varieties within our vision are false, just as a rope seen to be a snake is false. The Vaishnavas say, however, that although the idea that the rope is a snake is false, the snake is not false. One has experience of a snake in reality, and therefore he knows that although the representation of the rope as a snake is false or illusory, there is a snake in reality. Similarly, this world, which is full of varieties, is not false. It is a reflection of the reality in the Vaikuntha world, the spiritual world. The reflection of the sun from a mirror is nothing but light within darkness. Thus, although it is not exactly sunlight, without the sunlight, the reflection would be impossible. Similarly, the varieties of this world would be impossible unless there are a real prototype in the spiritual world. The Mayavadi philosopher cannot understand this, but a real philosopher must be convinced that light is not possible at all without background of sunlight. Thus, the jugglery of words used by the impersonalist, Mayavadi philosopher, to prove that the world is false may amaze inexperienced children, but a man with full knowledge knows perfectly well that there cannot be any existence without Krishna. Therefore, a Vaishnava insists on the platform of somehow or another accepting Krishna, tasmat kena yupayena mana Krishna niveshayat. When we raise our unmixed faith to the lotus feet of Krishna, everything is revealed. Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita 7.1, maya dakshena maya saktamanat partha Yogam yunjan marashrayaha asam shayam samagramam yata gyasasi tachinu. Now, hear, O son of Pritha Arjuna, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubts. Similarly, by raising one's staunch faith in Krishna and his instructions, one can understand reality without a doubt. Asam shayam samagramam. One can understand how Krishna's material and spiritual energies are working and how he is present everywhere, although everything is in him, is not him. This philosophy, Vachintya Bheda Bheda, inconceivable oneness and difference, is the perfect philosophy enunciated by the Vaishnavas. Everything is an emanation from Krishna, but it is not that everything must therefore be worshipped. Speculative knowledge cannot give us reality as it is, but will continue to be nefariously imperfect. So-called scientists try to prove that there is no God and that everything is happening because of the laws of nature, but this is imperfect knowledge, because nothing can work unless directed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is explained in Bhagavad Gita 9.10 by the Lord himself. Maya dakshena prakrite suyate sacharacharam etuna naina kondeya jagatvi parivartate. This material nature is working under my direction, O son of Kunti. It's producing all moving and unmoving beings. It is by its rule this manifestation is created and annihilated again and again. In this regard, Srila Madhvacharya gives this note. Durga tattvad artatvena parameshvara naiva kalpitam. The background of everything is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudev. Vasudev sarvamiti sarvamahatma sudurlabha. This can be understood by a Mahatma who is perfect in knowledge. Such a Mahatma is rarely seen. Prabhupada makes a number of points here. One is that if you have a reflection, such as this material world, then you have to have something to reflect. As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Ordva malam atakshakam ashvatam prahur abhiyam chidansi yasya paranani yastvam veda savedavit. That there is a banyan tree, it has its roots upward and its branches down, and the Vedic hymns are its leaves, that one who knows this tree is also said to be the knower of the Vedas. Adas churvam prasitas tasya sakyam guna praviti vishaya pravala adas chamulan anushantitani karmanu bandini manusha loke. The branches of this tree extend upward and downward, and the leaves and the Leaves of the Vedic Hymns, I believe. So this is chapter 'The branches of this tree extend downward and upward, nourished by the three modes of material nature. The twigs are the objects of the senses. This tree also has roots going down. These are bound to the fruit of actions of human society. Nirupam asyeha tato palabhyate nantana chadirna cha sampratishta ashvatamenam suvirudha mulam asanga shastrena jridena chitva tatak paritat parimargitavyam yasmingata nanu vartate bhuya tameva chadyam purusham prabhadye yatak pariti prashrita purani. The real form of this tree cannot be perceived in this world. No one can understand where it ends, where it begins, nor where its foundation is. But with determination, one must cut down the strongly rooted tree with a weapon of detachment. Therefore, one must go to that place which, having gone, never returns, and there surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, from which everything has begun, which everything has extended since time immemorial. Nirmana moha jita sanga dosha adhyatma nitya vrinivrita kama dvanvara vimukha sukaduka sangar gichanya mudapudam avyam tat. Those who are free from false prestige, illusion, and association, who understand the eternal, who are done with material lust, and are free from the dualities of material happiness and distress, and who unbewildered know how to surrender unto the Supreme Person, attain to that eternal kingdom. So there's a number of points made. One is that we're living in the reflection of the real world. But because we're eternal and unchanging, Therefore, to ourselves, it appears there is something real about this world. It's real in the sense that it's Krishna's energy. In the same way, if a parent gives a little child a kitchen, a plastic kitchen to cook with, the plastic kitchen is real, but it's really not a kitchen. Nor can you actually cook on the plastic stove with the plastic pots, nor can you eat the plastic chapatis that the girl makes. They're there. There's something being produced, or something's there, but it's not what we think it is. In the same way, this material world is real, but it's only temporary, and the forms are constantly changing, so it has no real substance to it. It may appear that this is my body, but shortly it won't be my body. And what's real, what's actually unreal, is the fact that I think it's myself, this body, any more than I think that this coat that I have on is me. If one thinks a hum coat, then one is wrong, or a hum jacket, whatever you may have on. Now the coat's real, but my identification with the jacket or with the coat is unreal, is false. Similarly, the material world has its place, has its foundation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and by his energies, everything is going on. So Krishna actually has multiple energies, Eka, Desha, Stitasya, Gya, Joshnad, Vistri, Ti, Yata, Parasya, Brahmana, Shakti, Sitedam, Akilam, Jagat. So Krishna, Parasya, Brahmana, Saktis, he has multifarious energies, and this is one of them. It's all an expansion of Krishna. What we're seeing around us, we're also an expansion of Krishna, but our thinking ourselves to be part of the material world is part of Krishna's illusory energy, which is also an expansion of Krishna. Still, it is not auspicious for us to remain in material energy and to carry out this dream of becoming somehow or another the center of attention, the enjoyer of this material energy, etc., etc. That's not very auspicious, because it's depriving us of our actual existence where we can experience unlimited happiness, which goes on forever. Therefore, as it says here, asanga srasthena jitena jitva, one has to cut down the strongly rooted tree with a weapon of detachment. So that sword is actually knowledge, transcendental knowledge. Detachment is the sword, and renunciation. Detachment and renunciation from the material concept of life. And that sword is sharpened by knowledge and discrimination. Therefore, we're trying to get spiritual knowledge so we can see things properly, even theoretically. And then when we see things even theoretically properly, then we can try to act both with our body, mind, and words properly, in harmony with the reality. We may be an illusion, but if we try to act according to the reality, then Krishna reciprocates. Tesham sadatam yuktanam bhajantam priti purvakam didami buddhiyogam tam yenamam upuyantite. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, then I give them the intelligence by which they can come to me. Those who are under the spell of the material nature, they cannot make any progress, at least not in spiritual life. They can go, perhaps, if they try, from the mode of passion, from the mode of ignorance to the mode of passion, or even to the mode of goodness. But without engaging in Krishna's service, then one is still simply working within the material energy. So the greatest obstacle for making progress is this idea that there's something more important for me to do than to be in Krishna consciousness. If we simply accept that there's nothing more important for me to do than to be in consciousness of Krishna by engaging in service to him, then right away we become detached from the illusory energy. The illusory energy is simply offering us many things to do outside of Krishna consciousness, and if we think something is more important, then we become entangled. So nirmana moha jita sanga dosha, one has to give up this false idea that I'm something special. That because I have a particular body working in a particular mode of nature, or even in a particular spiritual energy under the therefore I'm something special. But actually what I'm doing with this body, whether in the spiritual world or in the material world, has nothing to do, well, it has something to do with myself. If I work in the spiritual energy, allow this body, my mind, my words to be an instrument for Krishna, then I become liberated from my illusion. And I'm put back into my normal position in the spiritual energy. And if I want to imagine myself to be something else other than the servant of Krishna, then I'm put under a particular mode of material nature. And imagine myself to be the enjoyer and the doer of my activities. Better known as illusion. Prakrite kriyamana ni gunai karmani sarvashaha ahankara vimudatma kartaham iti manyate. That the bewildered soul under the influence of the three modes thinks himself to be the doer of activity which are actually carried out in the three modes. So as Prabhupada mentioned here, those who are actually mahatmas, they work under the spiritual energy rather than the material energy. Because they know that behind everything is Krishna. So there's only one thing we have to ask. What does Krishna want me to do? We don't have to ask a whole lot of questions. Simply that one question, what does Krishna want me to do with his body? How does he want me to think? How does he want me to see things? And then see if that's the way I'm seeing things. See if that's the way I'm thinking. See if that's the way what I'm doing. Now, generally speaking, it's easier to first of all use this body in Krishna's service. For instance, coming to the temple is easier than sitting in the temple and trying to actually hear what's being said. And hearing what's being said is easier than actually seeing what's being said. And then that's even easier than really surrendering and apply it in our life, with our body, mind, and words. But that's the most important thing we can do, is hear, bring our body to some place where we can hear about Krishna, then listen and try to understand what's being said, try to remember what's being said so we can see what's being said, and when we see what's being said, see what it means to in my own practical life, what I'm supposed to do, how I'm supposed to think, how I'm supposed to see things, and then apply it. And if we do that, then didami buddhi yogam tam, Krishna will give us the intelligence so that we can do it nicely and come to a higher stage of unalloyed, uninterrupted devotional service to Krishna. So if we do that, then one day we'll realize that this is all spiritual energy we're in. Everyone is a spiritual soul. And the only problem in the material world is forgetfulness of Krishna, of our relationship with Krishna. If we realize our relationship with Krishna, then all our problems are solved. Our problems, the problems of this body will never be solved because they're unlimited. And ultimately, whatever body we have disappears one moment after another anyhow. Only due to illusion, we think that it's the same body, but it's always a different body. And ultimately, the body has no problems because it's dead. Something that's dead can't have problems. It may disappear, it may not work properly, but it's in itself is not lamenting that I broke my leg is broken because the body is unconscious. But when we think it's our leg, then we think we have a broken leg, but actually our little tiny spiritual legs are never broken. So we don't have to worry about breaking our legs. We have to worry about dreaming that we're breaking legs. So better we wake up, find out what our real legs look like, and then we'll be happy that they can never be broken. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
Maharaj, in the purport, he says it would be very hard to prove, but not impossible. What can you say something about this?
To prove what?
To prove that this reality is not real. At the end, not in the purport, in the verse, I'm sorry.
Although one may consider the reflection of the sun from a mirror to be false, it has factual existence. Accordingly, to prove by speculative knowledge,
that there is no reality would be
extremely difficult.
Yeah, what that means, because what do you mean? Say impossible, no?
Extremely difficult.
Yeah, but so it is possible then to prove it, that it's not real, that's...
For a crazy person. For an actual person who's honest and truthful, then it's very extremely difficult, which means practically impossible.
Can I have one more question?
Yes.
Sometimes we say how things are nicely arranged by Krishna. Here everything is very organized. But then again, organizing things and criteria for how things are organized, both are coming from Krishna. Usually somebody else gives criteria and then we judge how these things match. How, if you can comment on that, because he gives himself his own criteria, then we cannot really appreciate this. Or
I'm a little confused about the question.
Excuse me?
I don't understand the question.
I mean, we say how things are nicely organized.
Well, they're organized because Krishna is organizing. They may not be so nicely organized. To say we take a bomb and we explode it, in this room here, the room won't be so nicely organized. But the fact that Krishna arranged it, that's part of the organization called karma. And karma comes in different varieties. Vikarma, sinful activities, karma, ordinary activities prescribed, akarma, spiritual activities. So there's varieties. And it's up to the soul to choose which desires he wants to fulfill. But if you choose... desire is the mode of ignorance, although it's arranged by Krishna. Still, the result is not good organization. It's very poor organization. But that's all part of Krishna's organization in the sense that he allows us to make things disorganized if we want. Okay. Anything else? I would do to Roy.
Indra speaks in Bhagavatam, worshipping Shukracharya with devotion, being devotees to Guru, the demons may take away my abode also. So the question is, how devotion to demoniac Guru by demons can give positive results? Teachings of Shukracharya are infallible, divine, and in harmony with the Vedas.
Teachings of Shukracharya are what?
Infallible, divine, and in harmony with the Vedas.
So that's the answer to your question.
This is the question, if these teachings are like that.
No, Shukracharya, as Krishna says, Yomam eva masamudo, janiti purushottama, sasarvavit bhajante mam sarabhavena bharata. Anyone who knows me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead without doubting is said to be the knower of everything, and therefore he engages himself in full devotional service. Iti guyatama shastram, idam yukva mayanaga etad bhutva buddhimasya krita krita stravarata. This is the most confidential part of all the Vedic literatures, O Arjuna. Anyone who knows this will become perfect. Anyone who knows this will become wise, and his endeavors will know perfection. So without Krishna consciousness, one's knowledge is always incomplete. Ashvadaya hatam datam paptaptam kritam jayat asat ichutite partha not cha tate pratino iha. Ashvadaya hutam datam. Anything performed as sacrifice, penance, or austerity without faith in the Supreme is said to be, what is it said to be? Useless, both in this life and in the next. So Sukracharya, he told Bali Maharaj not to worship Vishnu. He may have known so many details of the Vedic literature, but the essence of the Vedic literature is to serve Vishnu. And therefore Bali Maharaj rightly rejected him because Sukracharya did not have perfect knowledge. Perfect knowledge means to serve Krishna. Otherwise, the knowledge is imperfect. Although, from a relative point of view, it may be correct, but from the absolute point of view, it's useless. Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.